Heavenly Father, we're very grateful to be in your house here, Lord, that you've given us. We're thankful, have thankful hearts, Lord, that you've given this day to praise thy great name. We thank you for all mercies and all blessings. We claim them all in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. We claim those things that you set forth in your word. They've been freely given to us, Lord. We want to have them. Teach us how to receive them, Lord, to accept them by faith and grace. Helping us to move on, Lord, deeper into the kingdom, the knowledge of our God and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thee glory tonight and praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, we're still on the masterpiece. We're going to try to finish tonight regardless of, we'll just try to get there as fast as we can. Now, you notice that up to this point, we've seen that Brother Branham was talking of God building a masterpiece. That's like the pyramid. And then, of course, I'm not an artist, so don't worry. That's really a tree with a trunk. You wouldn't know that, but that's what it is. And then down here, of course, we have a wheat stalk. And all of these are little figures or illustrations of the bride, the masterpiece at the end time. And in here, of course, you find that these are lively stones that Peter speaks of. And they're being builded into a holy temple. And that's a statue, an edifice. And then Brother Branham talks about the life in the tree, where the tree speaks of the things of God as the continuity, the sap rising, falling, and so on. Then he comes over here to where the life comes up from a wheat and then manifests itself, reproduced many times in a resurrection. So those three figures are what Brother Branham used, and you have to keep them in mind because each one brings out truth that we're looking at. Now we're on page 28, and we come to a very, very tremendous portion, paragraph 136, though we actually went beyond that. Now he said, notice here the light that was in the stalk. Now this he's talking about this wheat here, see? And in the tassel, and then in the husk, all gathers in the seed, or gathers into the seed, the life that was in the stalk went, one went to make the other. Now, you don't find that here in this pyramid. That's individual rebirth as lively stones you're placed in there. And it finally all comes up to that edifice. But in here, you're talking about how that the life went through the ages and ends up in a resurrection. And it's not transferred from person to person. It's transferred from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith, like justification gives way to sanctification, and so on, till it comes right up to the end. And so, and then there's a difference over here. Brother Branham, having used the tree, tells you why the tree will not hold good. So you're watching now how this whole thing, which is of individuals, come up into the resurrection. All right? Now he said, and the light that was in the stalk, one went to make the other. Now, you wouldn't disagree with that. I know for 1 minute here this life is in this little seed down here. I better do myself a little justice by putting it green here. All right, the life is down here in the seed, and then you watch that life begin to come up. All right, now here we'll just pretend that, all right, that's where the life comes up here, and it makes this stalk, all right? Okay, now, you notice that starts to get brown, and yet it's still carrying the elements, but the life has moved on. Because, you see, the life is going to reproduce itself. Well, it can't reproduce itself down here, but it's got to have a carrier, a vehicle of some kind. So it keeps coming up here. Okay, now we get up in here, and we get all these little tassels, you know, little things up in here. And now that's that. The life that came down here that went up here, and up to here now, see what's happened. All right? Now, the life has got to pass on again, until it comes to a final stage where it won't pass on anymore. That's it. You see? So that's what you're looking at here, see? Well, in here, you see a cycle. You see the light comes up, the light comes down, the light comes up, the light comes down. In here, the light doesn't come up and come down. The light is going up and it doesn't come down. See? Okay, you just follow that as we go along. All right, now watch. One went to make the other. Justification made a way for sanctification. Sanctification made a way for the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection. Well, now, just to come right down in perfection, is the Holy Ghost ever without perfection? So he's not using that terminology. The terminology Brother Branham has to be using must line with the Greek, which is finished, polished off. You can't add from it. You can't take from it. This is it. This would be all of it, all it's ever going to do. All right. The baptism of the Holy Ghost made a way for the Holy Ghost itself to come right down in perfection, back to the Word, again to manifest itself. All right? For the Word to manifest itself. Now, he said he's for it to manifest itself, then it means that this Word here has got to be produced for the hour. In other words, whatever the Word for the hour is, which hour is resurrection, there's got to be a Word produced for it. And that Word has got to be manifested that this is the hour for the resurrection. Well, you can't get people to believe that outside of us. They say they believe this message, but I don't think they understand what I'm talking about. Now, here, the life followed then exactly in nature and came back to prove that it was here. So it's coming up here from this, here, this life, which came from Christ, and up here it's going to prove that it's the very same life. That's why at the time of the resurrection, that Christ comes in the form of the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles. And he does the same things in the Spirit, in the bride, that he did when he came up through the patriarchs and the various in the tribe of Judah to where he was manifested as the seed of the woman and did those great works. All right, now, but what denominated died? He puts dies, or whatever denominates, or rather denominationalizes itself, dies. Like life in Luther went on to make Wesley. Well, that's exactly true. The life that put the sprout came up here to make the tassels, but take the tassels, made the husk, goes into the wheat. It's not every kind, several kinds of life. It's the one life, and it's the life that's moving on. And it's moving into a resurrection. All right? And from Wesley it went to Pentecost. And from Pentecost to make the original seed. Now, Pentecost comes out of the Wesley until that time. Until what time? It comes out on its time for the wheat to be formed. See? And then what does it do? Denominationalizes. See? And from Pentecost to make the original seed. Pentecost comes out of Luther in that time. The reason that Pentecost came out of Wesley, because Pentecost was not a denomination at that time. Then Pentecost went on to denominate or denominationalize itself. And what did it do? What happened? It turned to the husk and died. It looked like the real thing. Now, Brother Branham asks a question which is going to throw your minds in the wrong direction. So I'm going to warn you. He's asking you the question, how many has ever seen a seed of wheat form in the husk? That's what he's going to ask, but he doesn't sound like it. How many have ever seen a seed of wheat start to grow? Well, start to grow is down here. That's what you think. It's not. It's up here. So get your thinking lined up. Okay. What's the first little thing? It's just exactly like the seed, but it's the husk, the chaff. See the three stages. Stalk, tassel, or pollen, then the husk. Then out of the husk comes the original seed. Now listen, not a seed. It was the life of the seed growing through this to come to the seed. Now, you'll notice how his language is here. His language has to be the way it is and seems a little abstract because when he talks of seed, you're sort of in the impression that the seed is there when he's telling you it's not there. It's being formed. And it's being formed by life coming up through the process of carrier. But the life that comes up cannot actually be formed into a seed until the chemistry's ready, which is the little chaff up here is formed. Now, that's what we're looking at here. We've got to kind of watch this. It's tough. Now, not a seed, and then out of the husk comes the original seed. Not a seed. It was the life of the seed growing through this to come to the seed, or let it come to seed. You say the thing's gone to seed. You don't say the thing's gone to the seed. The thing's gone to seed. You say the thing's gone to seed. You look at something out in the yard. We put some parsley in. And time we came back, it was just nothing but the forming seeds. I told my wife, I said, it's gone to seed. Now, was there seed there? By no means. It was in flower form. The flowered form, not even little pods, that the pollen form seed was there. But I said, it's gone to seed. Well, you know enough about nature to know from nature that this certain time is at hand. All right, you're supposed to know from the Bible what's at hand. Now, I know somebody said, well, now, hold it, hold it. Listen, shut up and you hold it. Jesus said to the Pharisee, you can discern the skies out there. Don't tell me you don't know what's going on. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you something. The Bible said God has showed it to man, so therefore there's no excuse. Now, I know we can sit here, grump, bellyache, grouch, and everything else. And feel justified. Why not? Well, why don't you just tell God to get off the throne and kick him off? Now, I'm talking this way on purpose. Because we haven't yet come to the place where we really understand what's going on. See? That's the trouble. There's always too many questions. And I'm not full of questions, and you are. Listen. I preach this way because I know jolly well I'm having trouble, and I know everybody else is having trouble. Oh, I know there's guys go by and this everything is wonderful. Sure, they'll wake up. Well, that's all right. Do what they want. I'm not their judge. Now, not a seed. It was the life of the seed growing through this to come to seed. And that's right. This seed here had life in it. And when it got planted, it started to come up here to where it would reproduce itself. And what was it? It was a light. Hand me my Bible, your brother Evans. I don't know why I left it there. I guess because I'm getting nut in a fruitcake. Time goes on. I really wasn't going to read this portion at this point, but I'm going to read it anyway. Now let's go to, I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 to see this. But some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. And that which thou sowest, thou sowest not that body that shall be but bare grain. It may chance a wheat or some other grain, but God giveth it a body as it pleased him, and to every seed his own body. Now he tells you right there, the body that went down is eventually going to come back through the processes of life to a body identical to what went down. Not the same body. But it's going to come up to a body. So the life is coming up through the body of the church. Till it comes back to the manifestation of many of what went down. Now let's talk of Christ himself was many because he was plural. We were in him. But we'll just let that ride. We just want to see what Brother Branham is saying here. Now, amen, amen. Do you see it? What is it? A resurrection. Coming back to the masterpiece again, like the one that went down. Now he's telling you, what is this life all about? What is life and seed all about? Life and seed all about is the life that went down and burst, see, shed forth itself in order to come back in many lives, which is resurrection. Now he's telling you that the church started to come back in order to have a resurrection. And when it did, it would come to the place of the maturity, the harvest time, see, where they were completely whole, back to original. All right. Now, Pentecost came out of the Wesleyans. So coming back to the masterpiece again, like the one that went down. Well, what went down? The groom went down. And the bride went down, now it's coming up, the light. Pentecost came out of the Wesley, because Wesley was an organization. Pentecost came out as no organization, then turned to one. Had to make the husk. Now he says had to, that's sovereignty of God. The true word of life on it was on its way then to the original grain through these stages. Through the stalk, the pollen into husk, and the husk made seeds. See? Now what is he talking about? He's talking about the resurrection there. Alright. Now, let's just take a look at this and get our picture again. And back to paragraph 138. He says, and then out of the husk comes original seed. Not seed. It was the life of the seed growing through this to come to the seed. Come to the end. Alright. Now, and it was proven, of course, as he said, it had to produce the same thing, showing it's Hebrews 13 and 8. Alright? Now he said we're coming into a resurrection. Now at the end time, what brings the resurrection? Shout, voice, brings the resurrection up to the rapture. Then back, all the original seeds will be placed in the resurrection and in the millennium. Alright. Now, he said we are now in the seed form. Okay. Let's just take, well, we'll let that be. Now it says, living, they produced in their early revival a holder of a certain portion of the seed life. Now notice he said seed life, or the life which was in the seed. Right up here held a certain portion of the life that was in the seed. It moved up and held a portion of the life that was in the seed. And on up here, and up here till it comes to the very top when it's turned into the seed. Now, but when they organized, the life moved out of it. That's proved all by history. Never an organization ever did a thing after it organized. It died. That's right. All right? Let's see. Same as we noticed over here in 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, and in the 6th verse. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. It takes exactly God doing that thing. Now, watch the life traveling on. Now, he said, watch the life traveling on. Watch how it travels on. Okay, we go back to the Gospel of John. And you'll notice what it says in the 4th and 5th verses of John 1. In him was life, and the life was the light, L-I-G-H-T of men. In him was L-I-F-E, and the life was the light of men. All right, now look at it. In here is life, and the life was the light of men. This life passing up here, the man said, as Brother Branham said, you Lutherans potentially had corn. You Wesleyans potentially had corn. They could see something. They knew something was there. You Pentecostals potentially had corn, but now it's corn. It passed on to where it is no longer justification, sanctification, baptism. It's given way to the Holy Spirit himself. The light has moved on, and with it is light. In other words, there's an evidence of what is going on. Now, Brother Branham talked about that light. And that light, mentioned many times already, he said that the God operates through the Word. So, okay, Holy Spirit comes on down. And here was this little woman down here, and she was all black except this one little piece of light. That's that harlot, that prostitute. Over here was old Simon, and he was all white except that little piece right in there. Well, now Brother Bannon said, what happened? Well, what happened was that when he rejected the light, the woman took the light. And so she became all light. And over here, of course, this became all dark. Because he wouldn't take the light. Now the point is this, the life was there in both cases. But you see, wouldn't do anything because it wouldn't take the light. Now he said the life's traveling on now. It's moving on. Notice, what they have done, all these have done, is proved by history just exactly the way the church has come, never to be used by him again. Okay, let's go to Revelation, the 2nd chapter. And Brother Branham said wouldn't be used again. Okay, the 5th verse. Remember wherefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or I'll come unto thee quickly, and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. Okay, here we got a candlestick, and it's built like, it's built so like so. And you got one here, you got one here, and you got two, that's 4, 5, 6. Okay, you got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and you got one at the top here. Alright, now, let's just say that this here isn't, it's all clogged up. There's no light can get through. So, all right, God just says, okay, that's all over. Now, every church age did the same thing. It just went up and up and up and up, and you're right down here to number 7. And then when that's no good, he gets rid of it too. Alright? When you get rid of that, what are you back to? You're back to your original life. So in Pentecost organized, that was the sign that it was all over except the life giver himself was here to carry on now. He wasn't going to have a church messing around to mess around anymore. Let's just find out. See, these things are true. Now, what they have all done, as these have all done, is proved by history just exactly where the church has come never to be used to him again. Never was. Never was. Organization is laid on the shelf, just like Get Started Aid. But they're still available if you want to use them the right way. There never has been in all the history of the church after it organized but what it died. And the organization died and never did rise again. Can't you see it? Well, certainly not never did rise again. There never was a reversion. Now notice in here, this rose, came down, rose, came down, rose, came down, came up. See, but this doesn't. When this is finished, this is burned and gathered. So you've got a different picture. Now, the organization died and never did raise again. Can't you see it? Men who are blind, open your eyes. Now, what's he talking about? He's talking about what I said a while ago. People can hum and haw and carp and quail and yammer and yatter and say, well, this is too hard. Why didn't God just come down and open my door and walk in my front room and do something for me? Because like he told the Pharisees, he said, you could discern the sign in the sky. He said, you're full able now, he said, to discern what's going on today. All right, let's go to John chapter 9, where this is an illustration that Jesus did an act which was not known from before, ever since the world was made, which opened the eyes of a man born blind. Now, in the 35th verse, Jesus heard they'd cast the man out and went and found him. And he said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? And he answered Jesus and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? Now, the Lord there is Mr. Master. You know, it's not a mad almighty God. He doesn't understand him as God. In other words, it's a term of respect. And Jesus, it's the same word that's used for Lord, though, in the Bible. Don't worry. And Jesus said, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talks with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshipped him. Now, Jesus is going to receive worship. Perfectly fine. Jesus said, for judgment am I come into this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. Now that's what's actually happening every single time. Now let's keep walking. And some of the Pharisees which are with them heard these words and said, are we blind also? Of course they were sniffing at that one. And Jesus said, if you are blind, you should have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Now you see what the whole thing you're up against. Jesus excoriated them concerning they could see the signs in the sky, red sky tonight, nice day tomorrow, red sky today is going to be bad out in the lake. And then turned down the revealed word and they said, look, we know what's going on. Now you've got, now listen, let's get this. You've got the people that Jesus said, we pipe to you and we mourn to you. And you neither danced nor cried. You just can't be dealt with. You're hypocrites. You're serpent seed. And that's what you got right today. And I'm not hitting anybody has to do with this message. I'm just putting that plumb across the board. So I hope you understand. All right. Men who are blind, open your eyes. Nature and the Word coordinating together and proving it right here that this is the truth. That is the truth. That life leaves the stalk to make the tassel. From the tassel it makes the husk, and from the husk it goes into original again. Now, they say, well, just what are you talking about? Where's the original? He said, you show me where my ministry is not the identical ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there you are. You've come back. What went into the ground is absolutely proven to be here today. If he's the same yesterday, today, day, and forever, that's real Hebrews 13 and 8. He'll do what he does. He'll do what he did back there in the flesh. He'll do it now here in the flesh of another person. He's going to do it to the Gentiles. That is Hebrews 13 and 8. That is not Mark 16. Mark 16 is just infinitesimal alongside of this. All right. Let's go further. Now, light passed on in the church even, I'm reading my own statement here, even as in the patriarchs. And the end time of Isaiah, that's the scripture concerning Isaiah, ended up in Matthew 23. And Matthew 23 was a denunciation of Israel. Now, let's go to Matthew 23 for just a minute now, because I want to see something in here. And he excoriates him, and then he said, going on, verse 34, I send prophets and wise men and scribes, and you kill and crucify, and you scourge your synagogues, persecute city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, and the blood of righteous, even the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, and stood in the temple of the altar. Verily say, all this will come upon the generation. And then it said, I would have gathered you, but you wouldn't let me, and your house is left desolate until you say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now you notice in there that there is a continuing curse until just a final minute. But let's go to Matthew, the third chapter, and you get the 12th verse in there. Whose fan is in his hand will thoroughly purge his floor, gather his wheat in the garner, and burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So there you see at the end time, the grain is gathered, and the rest is burnt. Now that's what husk and wheat is all about, is to gather it. All right? Notice, never again to be useful to him. Okay? Let's go to Matthew 25 and verse 13. Verse 12. I used to know you as my wife, but I don't know you as my wife anymore. The door was shut. Never again useful. Now, more noticeable, this life is in its travel in the corn of wheat than it is in the tree. Now see, notice in its travel, it is truer in a wheat than in a tree. Because the tree comes up, goes down, and types resurrection. This doesn't. Why, this isn't typing anything. This is it. It's going up to the resurrection. All right. God did call his people like a tree, see? The life goes down, the tree comes back up again, goes down, comes back up, seed goes down, comes back up. In the corn of wheat, it goes up from the original stalk through the silk, tassel, and stalk, tassel, husk. And the thing that it passed through dies, so it can't get back through it again. It certainly doesn't get back through it again, no way. What is it? It's no use anymore. It's no use. See what he said in Malachi, is the same he said in Matthew 3. The chaff you burn up with unquenchable fire. And it says over there in Malachi, leave neither root nor branch. Now what is a root? A root is a principle from whence it came. That could typify your whole, patriarchal society of Israel. But let's go a little different way. All right, here. Here's down here this old root. Now, I come along here with my hoe and I go zap, zap. And I come back a few days later, here's this stinking weed up here again. Why? Because I left a root. Okay, let me show you something. When God takes root and branch, it means he's going to throw all of these in here that are in hell, he's going to throw them in the lake of fire. He's going to burn this bunch up here, and he's going to burn this bunch down here. And his brother Brad said, how do you make eternal hell out of that one? He said, I'd like to know that one. You can't do it. All right? It's no use. He's got to burn it up. So listen, what was up here, he'll burn up. And what has already died and gone down, he will burn up. It's a matter of getting rid of it. Why? Because it's no use. It's finished. Can I not do what I want with mine own? Okay. It goes on to its perfection. Now, again, we notice the word perfection means conclusion. It goes on to its ultimate. What it was designed for. That you can't get it off track. It looks like it's off track here. It looks like it's messed up. It looks like it could never come back. I got news for you. The original seed cannot change. See, it's going to come up. I don't care what it comes through. See? Amen. Don't you see why he never used organization? He can't get back in it again. See, he came through it. But he can't get back. That's why Jesus always went different routes. You didn't hear him going here and then coming back. You heard him going someplace else. He moves on. He can't get back in. It's dead. But the life passes on from one to the other seed. They injected creeds. Whosoever shall add one word or take one word. See? He's blocked off from it. It must be the life seed or the life of the seed traveling on. That's why Brother Branham said nothing outside of this message will ever live. Why? Because this is the word for the hour. The other's dead. It died up here in Pentecost. You say, well, I've got a lot of relatives there. Well, what do you think I've got? Are they over there in Sri Lanka or Tibet? So what are you grouching about? You know, all the people want to find fault with God. You can't find fault with this. You're back where I always have been. They used to carry wood years ago, and I'd load it up like this and put a piece of wood here. The Irishman's load, you know. You put enough on, you don't have to go back and carry a second load. You smart, didn't bust your stupid back. So I'd pile up, and the center of gravity shift, and then it'd fall, and I'd cuss like a trooper. Finally, I realized, how stupid can you get, you stupid jackass? But please don't answer the question. Because here I am cussing a very thing that I need, which is the center of gravity. If the center of gravity shifted all the time, you, what kind of a cart have you got? Your cart, you'd be falling over, tumbling over. Well, people are just that stupid when it comes to the things of God. Look, it's moving up. And when it moves up, what's there in denomination dies, and if they stay in it, they're gone. Now you say, well, what hope have they got? Being foolish virgins. They'll protest at the right time, but it's too late. Brother Branham said, when they take this message, it'll be too late. That's right. Amen. When the Catholics took Luther, it was too late. When they took Wesley, it was too late. When Wesley takes Pentecost, it's too late. When Pentecost looks at this and said, hey, it's too late. Might as well save your breath. He's just wasting that time on. Now, see, he's blocked off from it. It must be the life seed traveling on the life of the seed. Now, as we said a while ago, this goes in cycles. This does not go in cycles. This is once and for all. I'm using this in a parable now of the bride, the masterpiece that's coming forth. What's coming forth? Not just a sermon, a masterpiece called The Bride is Coming Forth. As a masterpiece fell, there's a masterpiece rising. All right, she fell down here, she's coming up here. She's a masterpiece. The masterpiece fell at Nicaea, Rome. What did at Nicaea, Rome? A living masterpiece. The people, the living ones. So therefore, we got to have living people back here that form in the shuck before there's an actual resurrection. But these are children that belong in the resurrection. All right. The master of you, Pallet and Pallet, and I see her after, and I see Rome, she's come through a process. And she's coming right back to that masterpiece, perfected, because she's part of that word that was spoken by him. All right. She's part of that word. What is she? What part of the word? In a nutshell, she is Revelation chapter 3, 14 to 22. Whereas the other church ages start with chapter 2, verse 1, and end up through two chapters. And so that's the word spoken. Now, he'll have a church without spot or wrinkle. All right? Let's just find out about that. That's over here in the book of Ephesians, the fifth chapter. And it says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, you notice right in there that you have the water and the word. You simply can't bypass the one or the other. Now, that he might present it to himself a glorious church not having spot or wrinkle, or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. All right? Let's go over here in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, and verses 7-8. That you come behind in no gift waiting for the apocalypse of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. All right? Tells you at the time of the revelation, which is Revelation chapter 1 of the book of Revelation, you in your viewing will be counted blameless. You never did it in the first place. All right, who said that? The judge. It'll not be connected anyway with any kind of organization or denomination, which is the cursed thing. And the Bible said, don't touch the cursed thing. It's passed through those such things, and it's passed through those such things, and it will never be there. Never be where? There. never be there in the organization. She's done gone through them. See? There's no way it's going to come back. Why? Because Christ won't come back, and she's part of Christ. In other words, it's a perfect word process. You can never change the seed. You may give it a pretty rough time, but you'll never change it. Notice, the seed is coming up. The life is coming up, not going back. There'll be no more resurrection after this. Now look, through seven church ages, you could say this if you wanted to, through six. But when it comes to the seventh, you can't. Because there's nothing more to come forth. This is it. See, that's Brother Branham bringing a masterpiece, letting the people know this is it. Now, in this resurrection we've already had is a spiritual resurrection from amongst the dead creeds and dogmas. Now notice, the husk puts forth the original seed out of itself. Really what he's saying here, it pushes the seed out. The husk will now push the seed out in this hour. In Revelation chapter 3, we find this. What do you mean? In chapter 3, behold, I stand at the door and knock. She's been pushed outside. Christ has been pushed outside. You see? So, we've got a resurrection out of Rome and the whole harlot system. And we've been pushed outside. This is the hour of perfection and resurrection. It's all over. The resurrection's got to come. Now remember, no other church was he put out of in the Bible of the seven church ages. How many remember that? He passed through the church age to go on to make something else. Notice, he passed through the church age to go on to make something else. What was he saying? Justification gave way to the sanctification. That's what he made there. That went on to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That went on to the one himself. And that went on to the resurrection. Because at that time he sets himself head of the church and raises the dead. Okay? Now, how many remembers it? He passed through the church age to go on to make something else. But this is it. There's nothing else. This is it means this is over. There's nothing else. But the sculptor has got back to perfection again the word. See? Now he's got plumb back. Alright, why has he got plumb back? Because there's nothing left but the word. This bunch here is creeds and dogmas. The word that he spoke was spirit and life. When did he speak? After his resurrection, after he was cut off and bruised. The masterpiece, he was wounded for our transgression. Once that he was smitten, he was given the authority to speak. So here he is speaking. Amen. And notice, brother, sister, when he gives his life, he gives his word. People don't want to admit it, but it is true. This is a condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. And this already he has given his blood to sacrifice. But you can't have the blood, or you cannot have the life without the word. It won't work. Because it was the smiting that gave him the right to speak. Then if the smiting gave him the right to speak and he sits down and shuts up, he's got to be crazy. You work all week long to get your wages and say, well, boss, it really doesn't matter. My wife and kids will starve. Oh, brother, you got to be sick. See, when you reduce it down to literally the vulgar, it begins to make sense. Well, that's what it's all about. The price paid shows the satisfaction. And the satisfaction demands a result, or there's no satisfaction. Hope you're catching what I'm saying. It's actually very simple. And notice, then the husk, when it comes forth, looks just like the grain. But when the grain life begins to leave the husk to make the grain, the bride, the husk opens up and excommunicates the grain. Is that right in nature? Well, you try to stop it. Tell you what you do. You go up there in a wheat field, and we used to like to get wheat in the gum stage because we pulled the leaves off. It was kind of tough to get off. And then we just chewed the wheat and made a good type of gum. And then the harder the wheat got, the less gummy it was. And then, you know, what was one of the biggest beefs the farmers had? One of the biggest beefs the farmers had was they say, well, if we don't get out there and get that grain, it'll all spill on the ground. Why? Because the chaff let go. When the chaff let go, what happened? The grain went down in the ground again. Then you see, if the grain went down in the ground, it would have to come back and return to that form once more. Well, you know what happened? Jesus isn't going to let the grain go down. His fan is in his hand, thoroughly purges for it, gather the wheat in the garner, burn up the chaff. See? Well, he's not going to let it go down. Now, what I'm trying to show you here is that I don't care whether you like it or not, there comes a time when the chaff lets go. It can't help it. And what usually makes it let go? Well, I'll tell you what usually makes it let go. If it gets hit by something, what's the first thing that hits it? Wind. What's wind? The type of the Holy Ghost. What's another thing that knocks the chaff off? Rain. That's another type. That's word. You say, what about hail? That's judgment. All those things. They just smack that wheat around. You watch it come out. Wheat doesn't have a thing to do. It's just plumb gone. He doesn't have to worry whether it's going to get shucked out or not. It gets shucked out good. Opens up, excommunicates the grain. Is that right in nature? That's exactly what she did. In Revelation 3, we find the Laodicean church put him out. Now, is that a fact or a fable? Well, people try to act as though it's a fable. Now, see, it didn't in the other ages because there was something else yet to be made. Certainly not. It just passed through and went on to another. I told you all along there's no more denominations coming. We're at the end. And they put him up because why? He's the Word again. He's like the one that fell down there. He's the same doctrine that come forth from the beginning. He's the same doctrine. What are you talking about? No, he doesn't call, what's he call him? He calls him a doctrine. In the beginning was the Word. The Word is with God. The Word was God. The same as in the beginning it was with God. Now he tells you, he's the same one that was back there in the beginning, and he's the doctrine. Well, alright, let's look at it. Doctrine is the spoken, classified, understood word of God. It's the things of God categorized that you may know the things of God. Jesus was God manifest in flesh. So therefore he had to be also doctrine. That's what he says over here. And this, no man has seen God at any time, the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him, thoroughly led him forth by words, proved who he was, then said it. So, we're back to doctrine. I preached that for years, not knowing that it was in here. I said, if you don't know the doctrine, you'll never know this message. You can't. You've got to know doctrine. You've got to understand appearing from coming. And yet the appearing is a part of the coming. But there's a differentiation. Appearing is Luke 16 and 30. We're going to read that if we get time. We won't get time. I'm only to page 30 from 28. He's the same doctrine that came forth from the beginning. Now, it says here the church put him out. Well, why wouldn't they put him out? If they're creeds and dogmas and he's the doctrine, then he's out. I don't care what he manifests. Oh, here comes William Branham. He said, bless God, bring me your worst case in the world. I'll just guarantee healing. Oh, they said, hallelujah, let's come running. So they came running, and here's the great miracle. And they said, what did you say you believe? Why, he said, I believe there's one God. They said, it was all over. Why? Because he was the doctrine. They put him out before. Well, they said back there, you being a man, make yourself God. Now they say to William Branham, you being a prophet, you make one God. Shut up, there's three of them.
That's right, amen.
We ought to know because we just talked in this morning. You talk about people, brother, that that's your stinking government. They're getting away with it right now, but it won't be too long. They won't get away any longer. Which means they can say what they want and levy the taxes to get it. One day those taxes aren't going to come in. Now, where's it going to be? The law of inverse returns is setting in, has set in a long time ago. Brother Branham said it had. 40 generations down the road before he died would be paying these taxes. And the taxes were minimal at that time. You'd have 140 generations. It'll never pay it. See? Okay. And when the seed word begins to grow forth, the husk puts it from itself. Shuts it off. The life leaves all the others to follow it. The life leaves all the others to follow it. That's the true believers. They follow the life wherever the life goes. Why? Because it's light. It's manifesting time. And manifestation means light. What God's doing. See? Now God the great baptizer with the Holy Ghost is here. And yet people will prefer just as it were the gift of the Holy Ghost instead of the great Holy Ghost himself. You see? They don't understand grace. Pentecost is still confused over gifts and the speaking in tongues and those things with the message. They can't get it. But remember, when the word begins to grow forth, which it means it's time to come out, the husk just automatically pulls itself away. People say, well, hey, when is that squeeze going to come down? What's going to happen? Look, don't you understand what I said over here in Peter? Now, come on. Of course you don't. I never thought of him just myself, so I like to sound good to make you people think I'm somebody, but I'm quite honest, you know, most of the time. Not all of the time, most of the time. And saying, where's the promise of his coming? Verse 4, chapter 3, 2 Peter. For since the Father's fell asleep, all things continue to remain in creation. And this is what I'm reading of, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Well, it tells you right there that people just don't realize that God acts at a certain time concerning the wicked. It's like down there with Abraham. He plumb took care of Abraham and Sarah, and then said, now I gotta wait and take care of that bunch down there in Sodom. Now he's taking care of the bride. He come down here as the righteous judge, and he said, little bride, he said, you didn't even do it. He said, you're the righteous, blameless, sweet little bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Everything is fine. Now he said, just sit there and wait. And he said, I'll tell you, I'm waiting for iniquity and all these things to pile up. And he said, when it gets a certain place of rightness, he said, it'll just be all over and you'll be separated. And everybody's wondering. Well, stop your wondering. Just not dry enough yet. You say, man, I'd hate any drier. Well, it's going to get drier. And it's out of your hands, too. So you just wait. See? You follow. Okay. So the life just goes on. Now the life leaves all other to follow it. What to follow? What? The Word. The manifest of truth. See, that's the true believers. They follow light. They say, we follow life. They say, no, you don't. You follow creeds and organizations and dogmas. You're gone. See, did your church produce William Branham? No. Wouldn't have anything to do with it. Did we produce him? No. We just follow. See? Like in Israel, a perfect type. But in the perfect type in the beginning, everywhere the pillar of fire went was light. God was that light. I don't care if it was midnight or whatever it was, in a well-selected place, when the pillar of fire moved, the trumpet sounded, Israel moved with it, hallelujah. When the trumpet sounded, Martin Luther moved out with it, he organized, killed not himself, but the men after him. And then God took the life out of that and brought it on, laid it down in the grave. And out come Wesley. That's another trumpet, see? He saw that big organization, he sounded the trumpet of sanctification, more of the word, see? What'd he do? Moved on, right out of Luther, right to Methodism. Pentecost saw, trumpet sounded, time for the return of the gifts. See what they did? Sound the trumpet, came out and organized. But remember, after the husk, that's three stages we know, there's nothing left but the grain. That's fourth, you see, number four is deliverance. Oh God. And then the grain is put out of all of it. Amen and amen. Seed word begins to form itself, and life is brought forth out of what was back there, see, out of it. Now, he's out, the grain is out. That's your masterpiece, Boatsman. Now notice. If the bridegroom, the beginning, the first bridegroom, this is the bride coming forth. Remember, the church began at Pentecost, fell at Nicaea. Sprouted not like the real grain, no. It was some of the life in there, but sprouted in order to make an organization. Now you notice what he says there. He tells you that there was some sprouting there and some evidences and all, but it wasn't a real thing. It was organization. And it pulled through that organization and what did it do? From that organization went to another organization, went to another stage of the word, justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost, see? And it went through that, through this stalking process, it kept coming on more. Remember, the little pollen is more. The tassel is more like the seed than the stalk. And yet you know it doesn't look a bit like it. But it's getting closer, that's the idea. And the husk is more like the seed than tassel, and that looks like it, of course. But the seed itself is beyond that. See? It just used that for transportation to take itself through. You see, it's like God providing a hiding place. A nourishing place. Notice. The bridegroom in the beginning was the Word. And then if the bride is taken from the bridegroom, it must be the Word also. Well, how do you get back to it? You'd have to have a prophet. Notice, why must the bridegroom be the Word manifested, made plain? Now listen, let's watch what he's saying. Why must the bridegroom, now that's not the bride, the bridegroom, be the manifested Word made plain? It's because the bride and the bridegroom are one. She's just a smitten piece off of him. There's your masterpiece. It was smitten. In other words, if he proves himself at any one time, then she is proven. See, that's what you're looking at. Why? Because she's smitten off of him. See? Now, someone would like to reverse that. They want to turn around and say, well, now, just a minute. Here we got this great statue here of old Moses. Here's the knee here. Down there, well, that's a very sorry-looking foot. That's better. Here we are here, and now we got this thing here. This is out. Now, somebody said, hey, I tell you what. We got to get this little thing here, and we got to match it back up there. See? Emphasis is put on this. That's not true. The emphasis is put on this. When the one that was wounded, that rose, has manifested himself, then this is taken care of because she fits in there. See? So that's what he says here. He said in the beginning the bridegroom was the word. Then if the bride is taken, the bridegroom is the word also. Why must the bridegroom be the word manifested and made plain? It's because the bride and groom are one. She's just a smitten piece off of him. So if he's ever manifested, then she is automatically. If he's proven to be so, she is automatically. Michelangelo could not reproduce that again. He could not put it back, but God's going to do it. He's going to bring this little bride, the smitten, right back to the side of the original word. So there's got to be an original word to get back to the side to. And there it is. There's the masterpiece, the family back again in Eden. All right, now he talks to you, puts you all in the resurrection. The whole thing is done right at this time up here at the resurrection time. Now let's keep reading. How is the bride going to do this? Do what? And there it is. There's the masterpiece, the bride, the family back in the garden. So he said, how is this bride going to do this? How is this wheat going to do this? Malachi 4 said in the last days it would be restored back. All right, now how's it going to get, what's going to happen if this is the truth I'm telling you, that all of this is going on? Then there's got to be a restoration. That's what he says. Because if he's the word, she's got to be the word. I'll restore, saith the Lord. All the years the palmer worm, canker worm, all the other things is eaten, I'll restore again. Malachi 4 said he restored the hearts of people, the faith of people back to the original Father's seat. We see this right before us, church. Where are we at? Now he said we see it right before us. See what before you? The mighty God unveiled. The evidence of his presence. Who is here? I want you to notice real close something just happened. Malachi 4 is to bring back the original. She's smitten from the church body, smitten with her master for the same purpose. She's the word. The same as Joseph was smitten from his brethren because he was the word. And Jesus was smitten from his brethren because he was the word. The bride is smitten from the church because she is the word. There is your stages again, 1, 2, 3. Now you notice in here that he's talking of a smiting of this hour. So there it is. Here's the bride right here, and she's got to be smitten. All right, you got the same thing here because here it is, and little forms like this. You up here in the husk, she's right in here. So she's got to be catapulted out, kicked out. At the same time, they use the term smitten off of here. See? Here's your squeeze, the whole bit. All right. She was smitten from. Because she's the word. 3 stages. 1, 2, 3. Just exactly. All right. Now, the word, living and in action, the Bible bride. Now, the word, living and in action. She's here. The Bible bride, not some man-made bride. The Bible bride, smitten and afflicted of God. Now, he's talking about this masterpiece. And he's talking about her perfection. Exactly who she is. So let's go to Hebrews, the 3rd chapter, and begin to see something about this. This bride that he says, not man-made, she's a Bible bride. Okay? Hebrews, the 3rd chapter. Beginning at verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers in heaven of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Jesus Christ, who was faithful to him that was who appointed him, as was also Moses that was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who had builded the house hath more honor than the house. And every house is builded by some man, and he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant, for the testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ is the Son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. All right, now he's telling us how we're built. We're the house that was built of Almighty God. That's exactly what we are. Now, notice that this house that we're built of tells how it's built in Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And it says here, wherefore he ascended up on high, led captive to captive, gave gifts to men. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers to perfect the saints, the work of the ministry, the edifying the body of Christ, till we all come in unity of faith. All knowledge, the knowledge of the Son of God and so on, where we'd arrive at to this perfect stature. Now you notice in here that the scripture says that Moses was just a servant. And that's exactly right. Paul, William Branham was a servant. The fivefold ministry is just a servant. The Holy Ghost is the one who is doing it. God is building this church, not somebody else. And you notice the same as God brought forth the Son, is Isaiah 53, Brother Branham says about the bride, there's no beauty we should desire her, but yet we did esteem her. In other words, you look upon her, smitten of God and afflicted. That's right. She stands alone. She's smitten from all the denominations according to Revelation 3. She's smitten out of the Laodicean church and that she was raised up in, which means she was put out. See? She's against every creed and every dogma. And she will not have any doctrine but Him who is the doctrine. Paragraph 148, He's the Word again. He's like the one that fell down there. He's the same doctrine. He's the same one. You're not dealing with anybody other than, at this hour, than the Logos Himself, God manifested. Now, the church was raised up in Laodicean church age. That's the husk. Can't you Pentecostals see that? If that other was husk and died, another the part of the stalk, see, and the stuff. The stalk had to die. If the tassel had to die, so must the husk die. Three stages of organization. Luther, Wesley, Pentecost. And remember, you said, well, now there's a lot of tassels hanging on. There's a lot of this. Yeah. There's been Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Church of Christ, all these little other things that fell onto it. Leaves and everything else was hung on it, but the original was the Reformation. See? In other words, you start with the Reformation. Brother Branham's warning, he said, well, everybody said, well, why talk about Luther? Go here, go there, do this. No, he said, this is it. A lot of things happened which were true, but this is it, what I'm talking about. See? You take Paul Boyd, he's the historian Brother Branham talked about. Oh, he said, Brother Bailey said, Brother Branham made a mistake. He said, Luther was not the messenger for that hour. I said, I laughed. I said, Paul, one of these days you'll smarten up. Here's old Big Mouth himself because he read a couple of books. Fact. If I know anything about the Pope, he's read more books than any of them. He wouldn't be where he's at today. He's educated, erudite, and smart. And he ends up as Antichrist. Which doesn't mean against Christ, he's in the stead of Christ, which is against Christ, because he's a usurper. He said, I'm the Holy Ghost. Well, let's see you walk on water. Not that he has to, but give him some kind of a sign. See, the bride's got to stand alone. It's his masterpiece. See, it's the word that he can work through and make manifest, which is rejected. See, like it was in Christ. So the tassel, the stalk, and the husk never become the seed. No, but are all the time becoming more like the seed. Now, why? Because, you see, we're talking about manifestation. Now, at the harvest time, the seed is back to its original light, back to the Bible. Malachi 4 said it would be brought that way. Oh, my. To this way, to be this way, it must have all the Word. Is that right? Well, certainly it's got to have all the Word, because that was the trouble. Got into creeds and dogmas. And some take this, and some take that. Some won't take it. Now, what did he say in Revelation 10, that what would take place? Why was that trip to Tutor? What's Revelation 10? The mighty messenger come down surrounded by the angels, as in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. There bring the word, one foot on land and sea. In the days of the messenger of the seventh angel, the whole word of God had been made manifest. The seal that what all the stock has left off and why, and all about it we made manifest in this time, is that what the word said. Now everybody wants to put something else under the seals. There again is the human mind. It simply can't take what a prophet said. It's got its own ideas. Why not just shut up and say that's what it said? Because that's what he's saying. Then we see it. Then where are we at? See, where are we at? There's only one thing. The harvest is here. She's dead right. She's ready now for the coming. Why? She's already had the appearing. That's why. Notice. No, it'll never be. At the harvest time, the seed is back to its original condition and must have all the word in order to be the seed. And it can't have half of a seed. It won't grow. It's got to be the whole seed. It's got to not manifest, say, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost, hallelujah, I'll be speaking in tongues. That's just part of the seed. So just can't say that and be manifest, the seed. So manifest the Son, say the whole Word of God.
But now there's added to that, hallelujah, see, the life, not the gifts. The life of the gifts. Or the life of the giver of the gifts, see? See what I mean? We're at the end, brethren. Stalk, tassel, husk is dead and dried now. Only one thing has to happen, is to be gathered in the world council of the churches for burning. That's what I said, we get previous and we want to get things rushed. The word has become flesh exactly like he promised, Luke 17, Malachi 4. That's right, Revelation. See, that's what we're back to the original. Same way, same thing. All true life that was in the tassel, stalk, and husk is now gathering in the seed, ready for the resurrection, ready for the harvest. The Alpha has become Omega. The first become last, and the last is the first. Here's your doctrine, here's my principle. The seed that went in has come through a process and become the seed again. The seed that fell in the Garden of Eden died there, came back from that imperfect seed that died there, came back to the perfect seed, the second Adam. The first seed that fell was used in the second Reformation. Second coming is bringing forth a child. Now has become bride again, the seed, right back with the original word. The Alpha and Omega is the same. He said, I'm Alpha and Omega. Now listen, he never said anything in between. See? That's what we're looking at here. Original? Up here, original. Nothing was in between. See? That's what people don't like to understand that. Nothing in between. I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and last. That's it. The first ministry and last ministry is the same. The first message and last message is the same. Right. Brother Brown said, I preach what Paul preaches, we're resting on that. I was in Alpha, I'm in Omega. Certainly was. Evening time there shall be light. See, Alpha and Omega. It's become first and last. Oh, my brethren, we could stay hours on that. The great masterpiece of the family, the second Adam, the second Eve, now ready for the garden. The millennium, in other words, the second Adam has fulfilled everything he needs to do. That life of his has come on up. They're getting ready to separate chaff and wheat. Ready for the resurrection. Take us all back. As in Adam all died, even so in Christ all were made alive. That part which is bride. We don't know how many, but that's the part. Back with the second Adam, the second Eve. The great sculptor didn't leave them lay there. He took time as he did through the millions of years molding the first perfect couple. They fell. Now it's been thousands of years. He's molded again. Here they're ready. The masterpiece has come and struck down. From his side came forth the helpmeet. And she's brought up in the same process. Now she's back again with all nature of the Bible. Everything else showing we are here. Notice the great masterpiece of the family. The husband and wife cannot truly be a family unless they're one. They have to be. If they're not, they're not a good family. The wife pulling one way, the husband another. That would make an awful family. But in agreement with love one to the other, that's a family. And now that was God's masterpiece. All the true family here portrays that, see? And now the masterpiece family has come again, Christ and his bride, ready to come. Ready to come back to the millennium. The second Adam, the second Eve. Here, ready now to return back to their home. Remember, all the Old Testament bride has got to come back too. The whole picture has been redemption from where it was bringing it back. See? Just exactly bringing it back again. The other day, standing up here at the Christian Businessman, I guess many of you were there. I heard a Lutheran priest or preacher, supposed to be, stand up and say it was ridiculous and made fun of what we believe in. That's our message. And those full gossip businessmen, having that man there saying he wore his collar turned around. Lots of them do now. He said, now the people ask me why I turned my collar around. How can they tell you I'm a Catholic priest? He said, there is no difference. There shouldn't be. He said, we're all God's children. He said, I know a Catholic priest that's omnipresent. That could be present everywhere. So how could, and then Brother Brown said, how could he be omnipresent being omniscient? Said, only God would know that. And then what is it? It's the devil taking them right straight to the slaughter, every one of them going in. Exactly what the Bible said, and here it is. See, come right amongst the Pentecostals, just pulling them right straight. What a time. Oh, after that testimony, someone said, it's a good thing I didn't say very much because they'd probably have me in jail up here, but I just thought, there it is. The people know, the people who's taught know that. The wise shall know their God in that day. It said in Daniel, yes, sir, the wise will know their God. They're watching for these things. When I saw that happen, those Pentecostals stand there. Even Oral Roberts looked at me like that. Oh, my. But standing up there with education polished, you know, so forth. That's not the way God polishes his people. He doesn't polish with education. He polishes with humility and power and manifested word, showing the shape of the grain that it went from. Now, someone said to me, Brother Branham, there's one thing I don't understand. I said, what's that? Standing in the hall, I guess Sister Down, those were there. A bunch of people. A minister with his collar on backward, pressed around. And said, why is it you're always bawling the people out? He said, those people believe you to be a servant of God. To be gentle and sweet to them, everything. He said, every time I hear you get up, you're bawling women out. But having short hair, wearing shorts, makeup. All that stuff, bawling people are telling how they're cold, formal, and different. Why do you do that? Those people love you. How can you be loving son of God and do that then? I thought, Lord, let me answer this smart man. You just let me answer him somewhere that'll hang him on his own rope. And I said, well, sir, did you ever read of the great producer of music called Beethoven? He said, sure, I read of Beethoven. I said, he probably tore a basket full of scrap paper to give the world masterpieces. He never opened his mouth and never said another word. And I said, when he was sitting in his study under inspiration, he'd write something down, go to his study and play it. He wasn't right, he'd scrap it, throw in the basket. But when he got through with the inspiration, he had a masterpiece. Oh, how the word cuts, but it produces masterpieces. Like he said, they profit you out to people. Takes all the husk and the stalk away, it brings forth the masterpiece. In other words, this message brings about a resurrection by throwing these out. The message that brings us with life is the same message that throws these into a tizzy. See, because the truth always brings belief and unbelief. You can't get by it. I got 7 minutes to tell you something. And he talks about a vision. And in his vision, he tells you about the bride, the review, and the preview. I have the Bible open before me. See, I can only say what I saw. If you say, what are you looking at? I'm looking at a clock. What are you looking for? I'm looking for the people, looking at people. What are you looking at? I'm looking at the Bible. That's what I'm telling the truth. That's what I see. And only can I tell you what I saw. I don't know it all about it, but I just tell you. But when this bride, she was looking right at the one that was talking to me. I was standing together, her eyes. She was the cleanest, sweetest looking people I saw in my life. Like it could have been a dozen or more. I don't know how many were abreast, but there was just a group of them. And that's the bride in his revelation, his vision. She passed by sweetly with a sweet air. Her eyes were up watching. She passed by. She was beautiful. I looked at her and she passed by. Now we shall review. I said, that's the bride. Now we'll review the churches. They came and I noticed what was coming. Filthy, most filthy bunch I saw in my life. Next I heard a noise. Next here comes an American group. Now I'm an American. Just made me sick. And you should read between the lines. But she had a great big long nose and a great mouth and dressed up like a witch and her clothes hanging in straps like a hula skirt, you know. Each woman had something of that order on. Many of you years ago, remember we used to cut paper like that, make an old fly swatter, fly brush. How many remember, you know? I think used it in carnivals, hanging down like that fringed lace paper. They had something holding them below, like this holding. all and then a part was exposed. Each one had hair cut real short and fuzzy. Short, curled up hair and full makeup. Nothing but looking like just street prostitutes, walking with this paper, the vulgarity. Now, the paper is held in front of them when they pass by in the back to see the way they're going. You could see the back part. They're acting, I thought, is this the church, the way they're acting? And there she went, and they were singing this twist and roll songs and singing like that. And to my notion, it's nothing but the world. The world counts the churches, leading them right to the road where they're going. They went off to the left and disappeared in chaos, beating time to the music, making funny sounds, shaking their bodies, carrying on, walking like that. I started to bow my head, and he said, wait, the bride must come again. Notice, the bride must come again. I looked, and here they come again, passed by, sweet-looking ladies. They looked right at me as they passed by. I noticed each one dressed different. And in the back had kind of like long hair hanging down like this. One might have been German or something else I watched. And they were starting to leave, two or three of them. And I screamed, get back and step. And I was going, get back and step. And I was trying to get them in step again. I saw the vision just fade out and change from me. Now, here's the interpretation. The reason, I remember, I just got through writing. I hadn't finished. I hadn't written those notes yet. But in preaching this morning, I caught what it was right in my sermon. Did you notice the church only came in view? Now, that's the truth, friends. Heavenly Father knows and writes the word, knows that I tell the truth. See, I just say the truth. And not knowing it till a few minutes ago, or just recently, see, did you notice the bride came in view twice? The first seed and second seed, both of them exactly the same. See? That's why it's happened to me. You don't find between. The reason they're dressed different in different parts, she'll come from all nations, make up the bride. Each had long hair, no makeup, real pretty girls. They stood watching me. Represented the bride coming out of all nations. Represented the nation as they marched perfectly in line with the word. And then I have to watch her. She'll be out of step with that word if I don't watch. When she's passing by, if she gets by, maybe it'll be my time when it's over. See, when I'm finished, wherever it is. Watch, they're getting back, trying their best. They were getting back. They're getting in line. They were looking out somewhere else, watching about that church that just went out into chaos. But two, the front ones never. The back ones, two or three kind of stepped a little to one side. Looked like trying to get back in line as they went by. Just passing me. In other words, you see the church coming back from its creeds and dogmas into the perfect setup where they're once in. But notice, the only church that came into view once, each nation the church. But the bride came in twice. See, that was it. Not knowing it, but look at it with my message this morning. Not knowing that, see. The seed fell on the ground at Nicaea. See, it went down once. But that was the original seed. And she's come through the process of the denominations, but only comes into existence once.
But the bride returns back again in the last days. See what you see here? It's like starting up and going through. That's one trip. See? But when you get here, you've got a duplicate of this. So what you got the bride at the beginning, bride at the end. They're duplicates. But the bride returns the last days. I'll restore. See, the masterpiece is brought up. That's the reason. She was in view. Reviewed the second time. She was viewed the first time. Viewed the second time. And she's perfectly the second time like she was the first time. Oh, God have mercy. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Life, get in the grain right quick. See? The others never appeared no more. They went out never to come back, but the bride came back because she's Alpha and Omega. That's right. Same as he is. God the great sculptor has made him a masterpiece, for it is a piece of his first masterpiece, like he made in the Garden of Eden, and took from it another piece that was marred and fell. And then it has been building up all the time again. And he brought forth this masterpiece, was smitten in order. That part that was smitten was in order to bring back again that masterpiece once more. So the masterpiece, the Son of God, the masterpiece, the bride, it's a piece of him, which must be the fulfilling of the word. The word's been fulfilled, and we're ready for the coming of the Lord. See, you've had the appearing. He has appeared, the bride has appeared. The whole thing is in divine order for the literal coming, which means he will leave the throne. Step off into the clouds, the upper atmosphere. The bride, the living bride, will all be caught up to the wedding supper and come back to the Garden of Eden. Now, you see, in other words, he's telling you it's all over. It's just waiting for that shuck now to get rid of you. And there's a lot of hassle going on right now. Yes, sir. O Church of the Living God, bow your hearts and yourselves before God. These things are true. I know it sounds like that is such a great thing as that would be spread over the nations. It never was. He doesn't change his way. Just a little place. Just be thankful, Church, be thankful that you are where you are today if you are in Christ. Because, see, now, remember, all that life will be gathered right into the grain for the resurrection. But the stalk must be burned, the rest of it. The husk must be destroyed. When the bride's gone. See, what's been gathered? Everything was in Christ. The whole thing is now here before us. Then what is it in the millennium? Christ and his bride back to the Garden of Eden, the millennium. Then he sings, I love him and praise, and that's the end of it. So there you see what he spoke on the masterpiece, and especially the bride, the great masterpiece that fell into the ground, the one that took the creeds and the dogmas in order to bring forth the denominations. That was part of it. And to move on, Brother Branham saw her right back to the word again, the original. So we have now the bride appearing, because it says, we shall also appear with him in glory. When Christ who has our life shall appear. Let's look at that in Colossians. And then we'll see, it's after 9 o'clock now, so that's, I think it's Colossians. But isn't that missed it? The Colossians, the third chapter, if he then be risen with Christ, see? And if he's risen from the dead and amongst us, doing the same things that he did when he was in the flesh, remember that same one now whose body is up there? Set your affections not on things above and on things of the earth. Set your affections on things above and not on the earth. Verse 3, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, be perfectly manifested, then you shall be manifested also. That's what Brother Branham said. He said, what is it? He said, if he's manifested, you're manifested. Amen. See? So there's your answer. the great masterpiece. And I would think Brother Branham thought this was one of his favorite sermons because he, as a prophet, had a part in it. Had a great part in it. What was he? Like Moses, a servant. He's not the builder of the house, and he doesn't own the house. He's a faithful servant in the house. And all were a part of the house. And with fivefold ministry, if they're right, they're faithful servants, but they don't build anything. The Apostle Paul said, I sow, and somebody waters, God gives the increase. What is it? He said, we're faithful co-laborers. We're faithful farmers, sowers. He said, you are God's husbandry. That's what the Bible says. God's agriculture, here's plot. You're the one he's molding blocks here. You're the one he's producing life in to come back to here. And Brother Branham said, there's a masterpiece, and the masterpiece is in process of finish today. Everything is ready. Come to the feast. Behold the bridegroom. They went out to see him. The door was shut as the bride went in. All of these things are taking place in this hour. And this is what we're to be aware of. That's why I say, people say, well, did he come down? Well, he came down or he came up. What do I care? What's up? Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing upward? Where is Israel? Where's the North Pole? Where's the South Pole? Who gazes up? Any place you're at. What is heaven? Elevated place. Come up through the church. I don't care how you put it. Do you know what's going on? No, people just dearly love to argue about it. Well, my argument is not so much as to geography. My argument is he here or is he not here? Then if he's here, through a very special ministry of William Branham, because he said to his messages to tell the people to declare that he is here, then he must be here in a way he wasn't here previously. That's what Brother Branham said. Then if he is here, what he is here, what is he here for? All right, then if we know what he is here for, we know what he is doing, then we are a part of the truth of the hour. And this is what counts. It's his manifesting, not ours. Our manifesting depends upon him. But everybody wants to do something to bring him back. All those old titles. Why do you let the king stay down there? Bring him back. Do this, do that. Well, that's great. What did anybody do when he appeared to the river in 1933? You know why he appeared to the river in 1933? Because the word was a schmozzle and a mess. So time to get a bride out of here. So there's what you're looking at. You're looking at the same thing right now. You can't get out of here until the church says out. Kicks you out. So the masterpiece through the ages have been built. God building a masterpiece. As the masterpiece through scripture was smitten, he brings out the fact that the bride's identical. She was smitten also. But the end time bride will be right back to the original. Because remember, in spite of all this, she's been coming up. See, over on the other side, Brother Branham saw, no doubt, a totality of bride. And this group will be added to it. So God has his masterpiece, his perfect outworking, and it's in conclusion, and soon it'll be all over. Lord bless you. Next Sunday, of course, Brother Mayfield will be here for us unknown. Preach for us. Let's rise at this time. Gracious God and eternal Father, we thank you again for love, mercy, and grace. Your goodness to us, Lord, we thank you, O God. And we pray, Lord, that as time goes on, that you will help us in all things to see the tremendous clarity, to see what was in this sermon that Brother Branham loves so well. We know, Lord, we have barely scratched it. We've seen some things that we know are very true, very good. They've been principles to us and helped us, and we see it. But there's so much we believe that at this point we are not seeing, though much came on later that he taught us that came out of this. But Father, we would like to come to the place where we would rejoice with him, the same one who brought this message, that we would see what he has seen, not to see as a prophet, but to see what he wanted us to see. That would be it. So we commend ourselves to you, Lord. Blessed be with us, O God, till we come together again. Guide and direct us in paths of righteousness for thy name's sake, Lord, and guide us in paths of uprightness and spiritual and physical wholeness for our own sake, Lord, for we need your help. Be merciful to us, O God, we pray. And in such a way we pray is this, that we know your mercy and goodness is there. May we see it, may we lay hold of it. Help us, Father, because our help cometh from thee, and of ourselves we cannot do anything. We're a needy people, Lord. We need you and your gifts and all your goodness outpoured. We do not denigrate or deny any, but we know we need you above all, because in you are all things. So, Father, we look to you now. Help us. You are the great helper, the great builder. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. The Lord bless you. Let's sing Take the Name of Jesus with you.